Menachos, Perek Yud, Mishnah Hey, 10:5. We now move on to a related topic, the topic of what's known as the Isser of Chadash, the prohibition of eating from the new year's crop. And that means we're talking here about grains, wheat, barley, oats, spelt, and rye, that grew since last Pesach. So before that new crop can be eaten, the Korban Omer must be brought. The Omer, as you know, was brought on the second day of Pesach, and in the event that there's no possibility of bringing it, like nowadays without a Beis HaMikdash, then the new crop, the Chadash, the new crop is forbidden to be eaten until after the 16th day of Nisan. Now, this is actually a pasuk. The pasuk says, V'lechem v'kali v'charmel lo sochlu ad etzem hayom hazeh. You may not eat these grain products until this very day, meaning the day of the 16th of Nisan, ad haviyachem es korban elokeichem, until you bring the offering to Hashem, meaning the minchas omer. So really the pasuk has two separate times. It's you can't eat it till after the 16th of Nisan, and you can't eat it till after you bring the minchas omer, the korban omer. So it'll be the sooner of the two. If you can bring the omer, once it's brought, the chadash is permitted. If you can't bring the omer, then once the 16th is over, meaning on the 17th, then you could eat the chadash, the new year's crop. In addition, there's a separate pasuk that refers to the minchas omer as reishis ketzirachem, the first of your harvest. So there's a separate restriction on harvesting, meaning reaping, cutting new grains before you harvest the grain that'll be used for the minchas omer, meaning the barley. Typically, because barley is typically the first grain to ripen. Now, the restriction of chadash is sort of universal. It applies in Eretz Yisrael in all times, and according to most Rishonim, it even applies in Chutz La'aretz in all times, meaning even Bizman Hazeh. I will discuss the halacha at the end, Be'ez Hashem. This reishis ketzirachem restriction, the first of the harvesting, so that is true, and it applies, but it applies in a more limited way, because it applies essentially to barley, which would be eligible for use as the minchas omer. So if, for example, you have barley that's growing in a irrigated valley somewhere, that is not eligible for being used, because it's an irrigated valley, for being used as the minchas omer barley. And therefore, that barley could actually be harvested before the barley you harvest for the minchas omer. So there's wiggle in that latter restriction. In any case, the reason why, of course, this is coming up now in our Mishnah is because this parak deals with the bringing of the omer, and the consequence of the bringing of the omer is that the chadash, the new crops, become permitted for people to eat. So says the Mishnah inside, Mishakarav haomer, immediately after the korban omer was brought during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, yotzin, you could go out, umotzin shuk Yerushalayim shu male kemach v'kali. You'd find the marketplace of Jerusalem stocked to the shelves already stocked with all sorts of grain products. Kemach is flour, barley flour probably, and kali, according to Rashi, is flour that you make, but it's flour that came from kernels that were roasted, that were toasted ahead of time. You toast them and then you grind them into flour. Others learn that kali simply means like the toasted grain. So think of like, puffed wheat, in Israel they call it shalva. Sugar smacks, if you remember those as a kid. So that's what we're talking about over here, according to some Rishonim, what the kali is referring to. The point, however, is that these are grain products which essentially certainly were harvested prior to Pesach, prior to the harvesting of the barley for the Minchas Omer. So they'd be right in the shelves for as soon as people took them to buy them, as soon as the Omer was brought. So it says, the first opinion here, Reb Meir, Shalom v'rson chacham div Reb Meir. Reb Meir holds the stocking of the shelves in the markets of Jerusalem so that people could consume chadash immediately once it became yashan, no longer the new crop, but now the old crop, because there's a new, the omer has been brought. Reb Meir says that was a violation of a Isser d'Rabbanan. Literally, not according to the will of the desire of the Rabbanan, the chacham. According to Reb Meir, he certainly is not talking about grain which was illegally harvested before Pesach, because that would not be an issue of Ritzon Chacham. It's not about the rabbi's desires, as the Torah said, you can't do that. So we're talking here about grain which was harvested legitimately. So it came, let's say, from this irrigated, valley somewhere, or it was harvested by hand instead of with a utensil. One of these sort of exemptions that you would allow to reap it early. But still, according to Rameh, there's an Issa Durabanan. The rabbis saw, obviously, that if the people are harvesting grain early and it's ready for consumption, people end up eating the grain before it's permitted to consume, meaning before the Omer is brought. So Rameh holds, the rabbi said, don't stock the shelves, don't harvest this, or technically speaking, don't even harvest the grain until after the Omer has been brought. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Birtson Chacham Hayosin. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, there's no such Issa Durabanan. The lining of the shelves of the marketplace in Jerusalem was within bounds of the rabbinic will. There's no violation of Issa Durabanan there, because he rejects the idea that the rabbis ever made such an Issa Durabanan. If you'll ask the question, well, Rabbi Yehuda, obviously, if there ever was need for Issa Durabanan, here it is. I mean, obviously, if there's, you know, everyone's got the grain on the shelves, it's going to be consumed. So the answer is Rabbi Yehuda agrees in principle. That makes sense. The problem is he realizes that if they'd make such an Issa Durabanan, people wouldn't listen. And since people wouldn't listen, so the rule is that they don't make a Din Durabanan where the people won't follow it. And therefore, he holds they never made such an Issa Durabanan in the first place. Okay, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So indeed, there's no Issa Durabanan like that. Says the Mishnah further, Mishikarav HaOmer Hutter HaChadash Miyad. From the moment that the Omer is brought, the new crop becomes permitted immediately. So there's a question what the immediately is coming to add, the miyad, because if you'd say just Mishikarav HaOmer Hutter HaChadash, that should be sufficient. As soon as you bring the Omer, then the new crop becomes permitted. Straightforward. What's the miyad immediately? So one possible suggestion is that along with the meal offering, the Minchas Omer, there's also was this sheep that came along with it. So you might have thought it also needs the accompanying animal offering. The answer is no. It's the barley offering of the Minchas Omer that matters. Once that's brought immediately, the Chadash becomes permitted. Now, V'rachokim mutar mechatzos yom ulahalan, says the Mishnah, if you're living too far to know for sure when it was exactly that the Minchas Omer is brought, because you live in, you know, you live in Beit Shemesh or you live in New York, so how are you possibly going to know when it's exactly the moment when the Minchas Omer is brought? The answer is, so from midday in Jerusalem, it becomes permitted to eat Chadash wherever you are. And the Mishnah will go on to explain at the end of the at the last sentence of the Mishnah, if I skip there for a moment, it says, Mipnei ma rachok mutar machatos yom ulhalan. Why was it permitted from midday, even if you don't know for certain? Mipnei shehen yodim she'ein bezdin misatzlin bo. Because everyone knows that the people in charge, the bezdin, the people in charge of what goes on in the Beis Hamikdash, wouldn't be misatzlin, they wouldn't be lackadaisical, they wouldn't be, you know, lazy in enforcing to ensure that the Minchas Omer is brought as soon as possible. So by Chatzos, by noon, midday, for sure they brought it. Of course, that means during the Beis Hamikdash time when you could bring an Omer. But nowadays there isn't. So says the Mishnah, now going back to the words I skipped, Mishachar Beis Hamikdash, once there's no longer a Beis Hamikdash because it was destroyed, so and of course there's no bringing of an Omer, Minchas Omer anymore. Hiskin Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai Shehei Yom Henef Kulo Asar. Says the Mishnah that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai established that the entire day of waving, henef, waving, this is referring to the fact that the Minchas Omer, as you learned, requires a tenufa, waving in the six directions prior to the Hagasha and the offering. So it's called Yom Henef, the day of waving. So he said, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, the whole day is Asr. You can't eat Chadash on that day. Rabbi Yehuda objects to that. He says, Valo minat Torahu Asr. Rabbi Yehuda says that this makes no sense because the Torah itself prohibited the eating of Chadash, the whole of the Yom Henef, the whole of the second day of Pesach, if there's no Omer brought. Shneimar, as the Pasuk says, Ad Etzem Hayom Hazeh, until I call the completion of that whole day. Ad V'ad Bechlal, the whole day is restricted. You can't eat it if there's no Omer being brought. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying, how could it be that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made such a takana when the Torah made that rule already? So the truth is, the Gemara says that's correct. The word hiskin, like a takana, is actually indeed a technical term, which means like a rabbinic enactment to repair something, which, you know, a societal break that you're coming to repair. And that's not the case here. So the Gemara ends up saying what's going on is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saw that people essentially like weren't in the habit. They didn't know for the last, you know, 400 and whatever years, there was every day wherever you lived in the whole of what's called Israel, at noon on the second day of Pesach, you ate from the new crop. You started making matzah all of a sudden from the new crop. So he had to publicize and enact, no, we're not doing that anymore. Now we're waiting until, you know, the third day of Pesach, if you will. So his skin here is not that he made a new takana in a technical term, but rather he established this new practice, which indeed is not a rabbinic, but actually a Torah requirement. Just so you don't misunderstand things here, two things. First of all, understand that there's not a machlokas here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the, I'll call him temporary nasi, who took over after the Churban by Hasheni in like called the year 70, and he's the one who established things at Yavne. But as soon as he sort of things are up running Yavne and they got Rabban Gamliel there, the second Rabban Gamliel, then he disappeared off the scene. The point is he's like a first century of the Common Era Tana, whereas Rabbi Yehuda is like a second century. It's like nearing the end of the Tanaim. He's in the second century. They don't know each other, so they're not having an argument. It's just that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on whoever wrote the Mishnah, this version of the Mishnah, that it wasn't Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai making a takana. Okay, and that would be the halacha, in fact. The second thing, just to not misunderstand, understand the picture. We're talking about a picture where the marketplace of Jerusalem in the middle of Pesach are being stocked with flour, fresh flour from the new harvest. And people are going to buy that flour and turn it into matzah and make matzahs and eat them on Pesach. So this is certainly not how we do things today. Nowadays, you know, certainly people do not risk making matzah in the middle of Pesach, lest it come to chametz, but that's what's happening over here that's the picture you have to have in your mind for this Mishnah. In terms of halacha l'maisa, so chadash is actually an isra d'oraisa, it applies in all times and all places, according to Moser Shonim, everyone agrees in Eretz Yisrael is an isra chadash, therefore every hashgacha worth its salt in Eretz Yisrael, is going to not give a heksher on stuff that's chadash, before its time. Most are trying to learn that Chadash is also forbidden in Chutz La'aretz, okay? The Acharonim, starting with the Ramah onwards, really bend over backwards, try to sort of have a limud zchus and explain why Klal Yisrael, certainly Ashkenazi Jewry, is so lenient with this Chadash, which is Bepashas Aser Medoraisa. So there is a sheet that it's only Derabanan, and there's a sheet on top of that if it's Safik, Derabanan be Lakula. So maybe that's what's going on. Whatever the case is, I'm sure what was driving it was a matter of necessity. Food was hard to come by in those days. Sort of the pendulum is swinging the other direction today, and more hashgachas and kashrus agencies are really being strict for chadash in Chutz La'aretz. Although I believe the OU still gives a hechsher on products that could be chadash in Chutz La'aretz, there are websites that pop up now that you can sort of check serial numbers to see if this is when these Cheerios and Oreo cookies, whatever they are, were made. Be that as it may, it's certainly proper for a person to not eat from Chadash if he knows it's Chadash, or even drink beer, let's say, that's Chadash, and Chutz La'aretz either. If it's Vade Chadash, he shouldn't eat it, really. And if it's only a Safik Chadash and it's in Chutz La'aretz, then there is more room to be lenient.